The Revive Our Hearts program you're about to hear is possible thanks to listeners like you who give to support this ministry. And God sometimes provides some creative ways for listeners to donate. For example, a woman wrote recently to share a story that made me smile.
For the past year, I've been listening to Revive Our Hearts podcast on my computer. I've seen a message on the right side of my screen giving the opportunity to support the ministry. I've always wanted to, but find it hard to donate when we give all our tithes and offering to support our church. So I wanted to give to Revive Our Hearts, but didn't know how. So I prayed and asked God to provide the money so I could give. God is so creative. I got a call from a research company asking me to be a part of a food study. They offered to pay me $135 for the job. So yesterday, I went downtown Chicago, 9 miles from home. I was the first to arrive. And when it was time to taste the food for the research, 6 people were called. The organizers told me, "We won't need you, but here's your payment." I basically went downtown to pick up $135 cash. Today I donated it to Revive Our Hearts. God is so good. I learned from my mom. Whenever she wanted to give to missions, she always asked God to provide an extra job or a means for her to give. And guess what? He always did. I'm so happy I can be a part of supporting this amazing ministry. May God provide for all your needs.
I'm so thankful for this listener's heart to give, for how she sought the Lord and the Lord provided, answered that prayer, and enabled her to be a part of what God is doing through this ministry. And we're asking the Lord to make it possible for many more listeners to partner with us this month. As we've been sharing with you, May is the end of our fiscal year when we wrap up one budget cycle and begin a new one. Now, as we make plans for the year ahead, Revive Our Hearts is facing a significant need. Giving to the ministry has been less than expected over the last several months, and we've been using our cash reserves to pay the bills. And we're still heading into the summer months when giving typically declines. So we're asking the Lord to provide $830,000 in donations here in the month of May. Maybe it's in your heart to give to help meet that need, but you're not sure how you could do it. Well, why not do what this woman did and ask the Lord to show you how? Ask Him to provide in whatever means He wants to, so that you can make a special gift to help meet this need. Then give us a call at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit us at reviveourhearts.com.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walkelmuth, author of Brokenness, The Heart God Revives, for Tuesday, May 9th, 2017. Today, Nancy will help us prepare for the storms that are sure to come in the series, God's Faithfulness in Times of Trouble. She delivered this message to close the True Woman 14 conference. Nancy will be in Psalm 107.
We've been talking this weekend about freedom and fullness and fruitfulness in Christ. And that's a great slogan. It's a great theme to rally around. We hear that, we say, yes, I want freedom. Yes, I want fullness. Yes, I want fruitfulness. I know it's in Christ. But I wonder if any of you have maybe had a thought like this. You know, that's a nice thought, and it's nice for all those speakers who live in a different plane than I live in. It's nice for the women sitting around me, but can I really experience freedom and fullness and fruitfulness in Christ? Can that be more than just words for me? I mean, Nancy, you don't know the challenges I'm facing when I get home. You don't know the baggage I'm carrying. You don't know the areas of struggles, the addictions, the bondages in my life or in the lives of those that I love or live with. Can that be more than a slogan in my life? Can I really experience freedom and fullness and fruitfulness? And I want to just say as we jump into this passage, the answer is if you have Christ, then the answer is absolutely. You can experience freedom. You can experience fullness. You can experience fruitfulness if nothing changes in your circumstances. God can use your circumstances to change you. And we're going to see that as we look at Psalm 107, a praise song of the redeemed people of God. Now, let me just give you an overview of it, and then we're going to take it apart, unpack it. And I want you to have a Bible in front of you if you can, because we're going to just dig into God's Word, okay? Verses 1 through 3 are an introduction. Gives us the setting. After decades of exile and distress in Babylon, God has redeemed his people and brought them back to their homeland. We're going to see that in verses 1 through 3. Then verses 4 through 32, it's a long passage. This is the body of the psalm. And in this body, you're going to see four scenes, each of which ends with the same chorus, the same refrain. You'll see that in just a few moments. And then verses 33 to the end of the chapter, that's the conclusion. So we have these bookends, the introduction, the conclusion, and then in the middle, we have these four scenes. Now, I want to read through the entire psalm, and I've asked four of my women friends who've been ministering here with me this weekend to read these four scenes as they come up in the scripture. And I'm going to ask you to join us in reading out loud. We'll have this on the screen so you can see the text. The sections that are marked all, they'll be in red. We're all going to read the sections that say all, okay? Then we'll read the other parts up here. You can follow along. And let me ask you to stand, if you would, as we give honor to the Word of God. Now, this is a long text, and I may have lost my mind to attempt a 43-verse text in the last session at the end of a long weekend. But I want to read it, and I want to walk through it because I want you to capture the story that God is telling through this psalm of the redeemed. Because this is not just an ancient history lesson. It is a history lesson, but we're supposed to learn something from history lessons. And if you are a child of God, this is your story. God finds you in here, and that's what I want us to see as we walk through the story. So we'll start by reading together the beginning, we'll read together the very end, and then these refrains we're going to read together when you see the portions in red that are marked all. Let's begin by reading together in verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble, and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south.
Some wandered in desert waste, finding no way to a city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted within them.
Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress.
He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in.
Now all let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things.
Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help.
Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress.
He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart.
Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron.
Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquities suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death.
Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress.
He sent out his word, and he healed them, and delivered them from their destruction.
Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving, and tell of his deeds in songs of joy.
Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end.
Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress.
He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven.
Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water, and there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By his blessing, they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But he raises the needy up out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, ladies. Okay, I want us to walk through this psalm together. I want to encourage you to follow along. And we start in verses 1 through 3, those opening verses, this overview, this intro to the psalm. And the first word I see is, oh. Now, I'm not going to camp on every word or we will be here till the next True Woman Conference. But don't miss that word, oh. You sense the fervency there? You sense the passion there? Oh, give thanks to the Lord. This is an earnestness. This is an appeal for us to give him fervent praise. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because he's good, for he is good. So we're going to see a couple reasons here to give thanks to the Lord. The first is that he is good. That's his character. So I want to just ask you to repeat this verse with me. I want you to leave saying this verse today. I want you to be saying this verse next week and next month. And as you go through this 30-day walk over the next month, say it with me. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. I'm not convinced from what I hear up here that you really believe that. So could you say it and convince me together? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Once more, and you might have it memorized. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Amen. God is good. He's always good. He's only good. He is the highest supreme good. And his steadfast love endures forever. That word steadfast love, some of your translations, is translated the loving kindness of the Lord. It's a hard word to translate from the Hebrew into English because there's so much wrapped up in that word. It's that Hebrew word hesed, the steadfast love of the Lord. That's God's covenant-keeping love, God's faithful love and mercy for his people. It's a love that is always acting on behalf of his people. It's a love that moves God to pursue us relentlessly, persistently, and it's his faithfulness to keep his promises to his people that he loves. Now, that's something to give thanks for. The fact that God is good and that God's steadfast love, his covenant-keeping, faithful love, endures forever. God is good when you don't feel like he's good. God loves you with a steadfast love when you feel like he has abandoned you. Or where is God in this chaos in my home? God is still good. God still has this covenant-keeping, faithful love, and it's always, always, always appropriate to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Now, we give thanks not only because of his character, but because of his redeeming work. Look at verses 2 and 3. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Throughout this psalm, we see God's people in trouble.
That's a word, if you're looking in your Bible, you want to circle it. It comes back again and again. God's people are in trouble. God's people are in trouble. You see that throughout this psalm. It's not just pagans out there who hate God and dismiss God. God's people sometimes get into trouble. There's distress. There's affliction. But in the midst of that, we see the incredible redeeming power and work of God. We see in this psalm that God has rescued his people who were in exile. He has brought them home to be his dwelling place, the community where he lives. God is always a redeeming God. He is always at work to redeem even the losses and the failures caused, the losses occasioned by even your failures or the sins of others. God is always redeeming. So when you find yourself, maybe by tonight or tomorrow or Monday morning when you're back in that same old difficult job or situation you're in, you find yourself tempted to whine, to complain, to be discouraged, to give up, to doubt God, counsel your heart with the truth. God is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Counsel your heart with what God has done for you. Don't forget it. Keep telling yourself that. You got to speak truth to your heart so that your emotions are not driving your mind, but your mind is driving your emotions because your mind is fixed on and being renewed by the truth of God's word. Got that? Listen, ladies, that's the key to sanity in this insane world. Keep counseling your heart according to that truth. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Now we come to the main body of the psalm, verses 4 through 32. And as you heard when we were reading this, there are four stanzas, four scenes. Now in our modern translations, on the first reading, it seems like these are four different groups of people in four different sets of circumstances. But actually, as I've studied this psalm, I think that all four of these scenes are just different ways, using different word pictures, of describing the trouble and the distress from which God's people have been and are being delivered. Just four different ways of explaining our distress and our trouble. Now, the immediate context here has to do with the Israelites. But these word pictures, these four situations, these four scenes describe the condition of every human being apart from Christ. We're going to see that in a moment. They also describe his redeeming work on our behalf. And these scenes describe the impact and the implications of the gospel on our lives. Each stanza, each of these four stanzas reiterates a few things because the psalmist wants us to remember this. You teach your children by repetition, by reiteration. That's how the psalmist, the Lord, is teaching us here. It reiterates first that the Lord is good. It reiterates that his steadfast love endures forever. It reiterates that he has redeemed us from trouble. And it reminds us once again that he is to be praised. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Now, each of these scenes follows the same pattern. I'm going to give you the pattern, then I want to show you how it is played out in each of these scenes. First, there is trouble. Can you say it with me? Trouble. There's trouble. There's distress, there's affliction, there's severe problems. So first trouble, then crying. They cry out to the Lord. The people in trouble cry out to the Lord. Why is it that so often we don't cry out to the Lord till we're in trouble? It's just kind of how we're wired. As long as we think we can make it without God, we try. As long as we think we're living in a heaven on earth, why would we look up to heaven? We got it right here, right? So God takes things out of our hands. He stirs up storms. We'll see that God moves in these circumstances to make us realize we are in trouble so that we will cry out to him. So we have trouble, we have crying, and then we have deliverance. God hears the cries of his children. He intervenes. He delivers them. And then what's the result in the people who've been delivered? Giving thanks, praise, thanksgiving. So four words, and you'll know this psalm: trouble, cry, deliverance, and thanks. Can you say it with me? Because I don't ever want you to forget Psalm 107. Trouble, cry, deliverance, and thanks. Once more, trouble, cry, deliverance, and thanks. Now you've got Psalm 107. Let's look at it in a little more detail. First, trouble. We have here four descriptions of dire human need: wandering in the desert, in prison, sick, and storm-tossed. Now we're going to see that sometimes these circumstances are the results of our own foolishness and sin. Sometimes it's a mess we've created. But sometimes these circumstances come just as a result of living in a fallen world and sin coming against us. Evil coming against us. We live in a fallen world. We can't escape that there is evil around us. There's evil in us. There's evil around us. But he's a redeeming God who is making all things new. Anybody want to say praise God? Thank you. Okay, let's look at the trouble. First, we have those who are lost and wandering in the desert. Verses 4 and 5. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no place to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. They were lost. They couldn't find their way home. I hear this from many women in different ways. One woman wrote and said, I'm trying to figure out who I am. As a wife of 2 years and now as a new mommy, I have never felt so lost and unsure in my entire life. Some of you been there? Feel lost, unsure at times? Another woman wrote to say, I am lost. I am hopeless. Where once there was faith and hope, I can't hear God anymore. I know he performs miracles. I've seen them. But will he for me? And then she signed it, a pastor's daughter / pastor's wife who has lost her way. There are women in this room who've lost their way. The other aspect of this description in verses 4 and 5 is that not only are they lost, but they're alone. They're isolated. They're separated from community, from home, from the life God intended for them. And they're hungry and thirsty. They've used up all their resources, all their means of survival. They have no way to go on. They're desperate and they're weary. They're exhausted in their souls. They are totally spent. Trouble with a capital T. Look at verses 10 through 12. We have those who were lost wandering in the wilderness. Now we have those who are prisoners. Some sat in darkness, in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. For they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. This passage describes trouble again in the form of imprisonment, bondage. It's darkness. There's toilsome labor. There's a sense of being burdened down. Now, how did these people get into that condition? Well, the scripture says in this case, it was a mess they made. God brought them into the trouble because he was disciplining them. He was chastening them. They had trusted their own wisdom more than God's. He's the creator of the universe. He created them. He is the sovereign ruler of the universe, but they said, no, I'll have it my way. Thank you. They rebelled against his word. They chose to walk in their own way rather than his way. And could I say again, this is true of all of us apart from Christ. We are rebels. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. No, thank you, God. I'll do it my way. I know your word says that, but here's how I feel. Here's what I want. I don't feel like there's any way I could obey that scripture. I know you tell me I'm supposed to forgive. I'm not supposed to be bitter. But God, I can't help it. Listen, if God tells you to do something by his grace, you can do it. You can't do it, but he can do it through you. Christ can forgive in you as you have been forgiven. But we said, no, I'm going to go my way. You know, a lot of times we're blind. We're deceived to the fact that we are even going our own way. Because we're not putting our fist up in heaven most of the time saying, no, God. We're just not listening. We're just doing our own thing, going our own way. And God sees that and he loves us so much. He doesn't want us to be out in that far country. He doesn't want us to become prodigals. So he brings us back. How does he do that? Sometimes he puts us in prison. Sometimes he puts us in bondage. And we have so many today, and I've heard from some this weekend, slaves to sin, slaves to self, women with addictions, with habitual sin that they can't seem to get victory over. This is a prison. God says he turned them over to their own devices, to their own ways. We hear this all the time here at Revive Our Hearts. A 24-year-old single woman, wrote and said, "I've struggled with sexual sin almost all my life. I want to throw this sin off so I can be more intimate with my Savior." Another wrote, "I need prayer. I'm struggling with abuse and addiction of alcohol. About 2 months ago, I tried to commit suicide, but praise God, my sister found me. I've stopped drinking, but I still struggle with the temptations." She's in bondage. She's a prisoner. Another woman says, "I'm in a sexual stronghold. I'm in such desire breaking free from it, but I can't seem to just give it to God. I'm married to a man that I never felt understood me. He worked out of town for a year, and while he was gone, Satan attacked me, and I found love and comfort in a woman. Please pray that I may find freedom in Christ again." It's a woman in prison.
Well, we're going to cut in there. Tomorrow we'll hear part two of this message from Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth. She'll continue to show you how you can have the kind of freedom this woman needs, and that we all need. Nancy's been in Psalm 107, describing God's faithfulness in times of trouble. And let me tell you about another young woman who needed freedom and found it in Christ. We received an email that said, "I am only 15, and I listen to Revive Our Hearts often. This message really challenged me to see sin as it really is, as Christ sees it. Revive Our Hearts encouraged me to say no to what seems like an overwhelming temptation." So she's seen God's faithfulness in times of trouble. I'm grateful Revive Our Hearts could be part of the process. If you've given to support the ministry, you are a part of that process too. Gifts from our listeners allow us to bring Revive Our Hearts to you each weekday. But as a ministry, we're facing some times of trouble. Donations have been lower than expected for about 6 months in this fiscal year, and we've been using some emergency funds to pay bills. So we're asking the Lord to be faithful to provide. To get all the details on the needs and your opportunity to help, visit reviveourhearts.com. That's reviveourhearts.com. Tomorrow we'll talk about storms, why God sometimes calms the storm, and why sometimes He lets a storm continue for our good. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.